It's predictions time on a Thursday afternoon, September 24, 2020. I am the Solid Monster here with you live on YouTube. Love these midday streams. You know, looking at the layout before we were coming on here, I was looking at the thumbnail, I was looking at the layout, and I'm looking at everybody holding their championships. Now, these are the top titles, basically, the two top titles, Universal, WWE, and the two women's titles. With the colors stripped away like that, when you look at those belts, it really hits home how they just all look like giant logos. They all look identical. There is nothing that really differentiates them. They have no identity. They have no personality. I looked over. I said, they all look identical. When you really strip the colors away, it's all the same. That makes me very sad. As somebody who likes championships, that makes me very sad. WWE has its Clash of Champions pay-per-view this Sunday, titled Gold Rush. Calling it Gold Rush because every show since WrestleMania so far has had a subtitle, right? Going back to WrestleMania, too big for one night. And we had Backlash, the greatest wrestling match ever. We had the horror show at Extreme Rules. SummerSlam, you'll never see it coming. And I actually don't mind the fact that they try to differentiate these shows with subtitles. It's kind of better than just saying Night of Champions 2020, SummerSlam 2020. Give it a little name. My issue is that some of these names are just goofy as all hell. Greatest wrestling match ever, the horror show. That's my issue. Just come up with better names. Gold Rush is fine. Gold Rush is a pretty cool name. I have no issue with that. And it is taking place from the Thunderdome. You know, before I went on the air about half an hour ago, I got an email from WWE. I got my invitation to be part of the Thunderdome on Sunday for Clash of Champions. I got one for Raw. I think I got an invitation for SmackDown too. Leave me alone. I don't want to be part of your Thunderdome. I'm getting invitations every week from this company. I have no interest in being part of the Thunderdome, so leave me alone. All championships will be defended. I assume that would include the 24/7 title, but really, who could care? Who could possibly care? Who could possibly bring themselves to care about the 24/7 title being on the line on Sunday? No one is watching this pay-per-view to see the 24/7 title. I mean, it doesn't cost me anything to watch Raw on Mondays, and I don't want to see the 24/7 title. But since every championship has to be defended, I would assume that they'll have some kind of match or skit or something on this show. You know, Tozawa and the Ninjas were trying to grab the belt from R-Truth in the ocean on Monday night. They were on the beach, and they were trying, you know, they were hunting the 24/7 title in the ocean. There was a shark chasing after them. I guess even the shark has his standards as far as what he will and will not eat, because he wanted no part of the 24/7 title. You know, if only Chief Brody had a 24/7 title on his boat to throw at the shark, perhaps Quint might still be alive today, because I don't think that shark would have wanted any part of that boat. So it's too bad we didn't have one back then. I may open the phone lines for a little bit later on, maybe for a few minutes. Super chats are open, though, right now. If you would like to send in a super chat, we had a great night last night during the Dynamite stream, and I know we've got some familiar faces back again here in the chat. When we're on YouTube, it really is the best, most direct way to show your support for the channel. And you could drop a question. You could drop a comment. I read every single super chat you guys send me. So we will go through those messages here after a while. And let me also mention, because this is kind of a big deal, this ties into the post show coming up on Sunday. I mentioned this last night too. WrestleRumble.com. Greetings, by the way, to What the Hell. That Booker T in the chat? Anyway, he says greetings from Germany, so greetings from Brooklyn. Look at this, all the way from Germany. He's listening, he's watching, he's paying attention to the stream. But WrestleRumble.com is hosting its NXT Gold Rush raffle. And the deadline to enter is Sunday at 7 p.m., right when the pay-per-view begins. It's only $1 if you enter. You can enter as many times as you want. One lucky winner will walk away with every single championship you see on your screen right now. That's 8 replica NXT championship belts for just a buck. And we're only picking one winner. And I have the distinction. I have the honor of being the one to pick the winner on Sunday. So join me live after Clash of Champions goes off the air, because we're gonna have a gold rush of our own. We're going to have a gold rush of our own right here on the live stream. And I get to pick the winner, and then they get shipped off via FedEx the next day. So it's only a buck. This is a show on Sunday that I'm really only interested in 2 matches. You know, when I was reviewing the card, and it's possible there still could be matches added at the last minute, but anything they add at the last minute probably won't be very exciting. I look at this card, and there's really only 2 matches that I can say I'm honestly interested in seeing, and both of them happen to be SmackDown matches, one of which is the triple threat match for the Intercontinental title. That's one of the matches, and the Universal title. Not that I think we're going to actually get a title change on this show, but I am very curious to see how they handle the whole Roman Reigns-Jey Uso thing. Those are the only 2 matches that I really can honestly say that I'm truly interested in going into this show. And when the bar is set low for these shows, usually those are the ones that end up impressing you, at least for me. When you go in with low expectations, all right, it looks like a TV show. It doesn't really feel like a pay-per-view. I say more often than not, these shows can surprise a lot of people. And this could be one of those shows. This could very well turn out to be one of these shows on Sunday. The Raw side of things, I think, is dreadful right now. I think the Monday Night Raw half of this pay-per-view is absolutely dreadful. I thought that show on Monday night was a complete and utter failure in every sense of the way. It was a creative failure, but more importantly, as the final episode of Raw going into a pay-per-view, it did nothing to get me more interested in wanting to see this pay-per-view. To me, that's a failure. This is your last chance to go out there and really get people to want to tune into this Clash of Champions show. Right, Raw wants to put the better matches on, I'm sure, than SmackDown. And I thought they did an absolutely horrible job on Monday night. They failed miserably. I mean, think about it. The 2 biggest things promoted on that show on Monday were Retribution and Braun Strowman's underground fight with Yabba Dabba Doo. None of these things are featured on the pay-per-view on Sunday. Now, maybe Retribution will show up. I don't think they will. Maybe they will, but they're not being promoted. They don't have a match. Raw Underground has nothing to do with Clash of Champions, and those are the biggest things that were really focused on Monday night. I am streaming before SmackDown airs tomorrow night. I like doing these on Thursday. Give it a little time to breathe. So it is possible they could add more matches at the last minute that I'm not aware of. There could be things that happen on the show tomorrow night that make me want to change my prediction. It really doesn't happen very often, but if it does, when I come back with you on Sunday for episode 671, if I have any changes to any of what I'm about to go through, I will give you a detailed explanation as to why. I don't change my opinion very often. I try to keep it to what we go over here. I don't want to go back on my word. So anyway, I will definitely let you guys know, though, if I have a change of heart on any of these matches. Come Sunday for episode 671. Now, we begin. There's been some controversy about this. We begin with Zelina Vega. Zelina Vega beat Mickie James on Monday Night Raw. That was Zelina Vega's first win all year. Now, she doesn't wrestle very often, so I'm sure the sampling of matches is very low, but her first win all year. Now she's getting a women's championship match against Asuka. That is the Raw Women's title match on Sunday. And again, try to wrap your head around that. First win all year, and she's getting a Raw Women's Championship match. Doesn't speak very well to the depth in the division right now. Should be Shayna Baszler in this spot, but they've taken her in a totally different direction. So this just feels like they're just trying to bide their time. They're desperate for new faces in the women's division. And I'm sure that's a big part of why Zelina Vega has now, I don't know if promoted is the right word, but she is kind of making the switch from manager to in-ring performer. She's very athletic. We've seen her do spots in the past when she's managed Andrade. She'll do the Rana off the apron. You know, she's tiny, so she can move around quickly and do moves like that. But that's very different than being able to go in there and hang with the women's champion for 10 or 15 minutes. I mean, this match ain't going 15 minutes, but, you know, it's a totally different thing than what she's accustomed to doing. She is a new face, though, I suppose, that they're being, you know, promoted. But I have to say this, you know, I saw a lot of people complain, and I heard from a lot of people, a lot of tweets, a lot of very upset tweets from people saying, why is this on the kickoff show? This is the kickoff match. The Raw Women's title is being featured on the kickoff show. And there are a lot of times when people will make a very big deal about this. Oh, it's a sign of disrespect. Why are they on the kickoff show? You know, why is Asuka on the kickoff show? I'm going to tell you right now why Asuka is on the kickoff show. I would do the same thing. I would put this match on the kickoff show too. You know why? Because Zelina Vega is challenging Asuka for the women's championship with no build. She came out of nowhere. She issued a challenge. She won one match on TV. She's getting a championship match for a title that she's not going to win. This has no business, in my opinion. This is not the best women's title match that brand could put forth on this pay-per-view, but this is what we're getting with no build. So this belongs exactly where it is. I have no issue with them putting this on the kickoff show. It sucks for the people who are Asuka fans who are bothered by that sort of thing, but sorry, this is exactly where this match belongs. Asuka retains. This is just something for her to do, just because every title has to be defended on this show. But that's all this is. This is not something that is worth getting upset about. Asuka and Zelina Vega doesn't even have any business being on this pay-per-view. So it's right where it needs to be. Peyton Royce. You know, Peyton Royce is another one of those new faces in the Raw Women's Division in the singles ranks now that we really haven't had the chance to see her in the singles ranks. Now we're starting to see her. At least she's had more singles matches than Zelina Vega has. At least I can say that. Peyton went to a no contest with Asuka on Monday night when Zelina interfered. She was competitive, though. You know, Peyton Royce was competitive with Asuka for the 2 minutes that the match went. I think it was two and a half minutes. I think they may be setting up Peyton Royce for the next title shot. You know, maybe at Hell in a Cell. Now, Monday night, WWE booked a triple threat match to determine the number one contenders for the Raw Tag Team titles, with Seth Rollins and Murphy, Dominic Mysterio, and Humberto Carrillo, who we have not seen much of on Raw, certainly not since Paul Heyman went away. We've not seen too much of Humberto. And the team of Andrade and Angel Garza, who have been battling the Street Profits since June, maybe July, the whole summer. It was Garza and Andrade battling it out with the Street Profits every single week. So they made this triple threat match. One guess who won. I'll give you one guess. Because I know we have people who don't watch Monday Night Raw anymore who probably legitimately don't know who won this match. So I will give you one guess. Yes, of course, it was Andrade and Angel Garza, because every day is Groundhog Day in this company. So they won. No longer with Zelina Vega. She has, as I mentioned, moved on now to the singles ranks. And so this will be the first time that they don't have Zelina in their corner. And by the way, they were showing no dissension or animosity whatsoever after weeks of it. It's been off and on now for a few months. There's been some jealousy brewing underneath, but it kind of boiled over a few weeks ago. And this past week, nothing. They were working together just fine. It's almost as if it's all just water under the bridge. So they won. They put their differences aside. They won. They get the title shot here. I'll tell you what. I think that what they may be going for here, maybe they're going to try to woo her back. They're going to try to woo Zelina Vega back. And I think they put the titles on Andrade and Garza here. I mean, how many times can you run this match with the same outcome? It feels like this has to be setting up for a championship change, because otherwise, I mean, I truly don't see what the point of any of this is. It seems tailor-made for a title change. Even if the title changes hands, nothing really changes. This division is dead. This division is dead. Regardless of who the champion is. I could be the champion. It doesn't matter. You may as well put the belt on me. I'll let everybody in the chat pick a partner for me. Doesn't matter who you put the belts on. You don't get teams. You have no tag team division. If you have no tag teams to put up against your champions, then what is the point of any of this? So I'm picking Andrade and Garza to win. Remember, the Street Profits beat the SmackDown Tag Team Champions on Raw 2 weeks ago, Cesaro and Shinsuke. Clean, in the middle. They beat the SmackDown Tag Team Champions. This feels like the sort of thing they would do. Coming off that, Street Profits get a big win over the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, so let's take the belts right off of them. But I predict new Raw Tag Team Champions. That is what I am predicting. Oz Inglorious is joining us here on a Thursday afternoon. Good to hear from him. Says, I hate WWE, but Solomonster keeps me sane, so I am here. My goodness, if you knew how many people would echo those thoughts, they don't watch the product, or they no longer like the product, but they still tune into the podcast, they tune into the live streams. I can assure you that you are not the only one. So thank you for that. Adam, with the $10, who is your prediction to win the ROH Pure Tournament? I got a good feeling about Gresham. I think I got a good feeling about Jonathan Gresham, if I had to take a wild guess. And Oofman Entertainment, it's laundry day. It's funny because I just did laundry this morning. I do my laundry first thing in the morning because I got to go to the laundromat. I'm around all these people. So I want to get in as early as I can so there's as few people in the laundromat as possible. But with COVID and everything, I got tired of washing clothes in the bathtub like it's 400 years ago. So Thursday morning is usually laundry morning every other week. Instead of going every week, now we go every other week. The SmackDown Tag Team Champions, Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura, defend their tag team titles against the Lucha House Party. Another match that... hard for me to really care. A lot of really talented guys, too, in this match, man. Cesaro and Metalik. I mean, the talent is there. And I would expect they'll have a very good match, but hard to bring myself to care. The Lucha House Party is in disarray. They are on the brink of destruction. Kalisto can't stand his partners. He seems poised to break away on his own as a heel. I'm going with Cesaro and Shinsuke to retain. The future looks bleak. It really does. The future looks bleak for that tag team division on SmackDown. Think about it. You've got Heavy Machinery, right? I'm trying to think in terms of babyface teams. I know they have Miz and Morrison. There's been rumors that maybe Blake and Cutler of the, what were they called? The Forgotten Sons could potentially be brought back, even if they are. They don't have anybody. The only other babyface team I could think of, because New Day is not together at the moment, is Heavy Machinery. And that's it. That's all they have. They have no one else. So it's all the more reason why these titles, and I'll keep saying it until they do it. I've been saying it for a few years now, but I've really been talking about it a lot lately. These titles need to be unified with the Raw Tag Team titles as soon as possible. At their earliest convenience, they need to unify these two championships. That's what needs to happen. This would have been the show to do it. Literally, the name of the show is Clash of Champions. You would have a clash of the Raw Tag Team Champions and the SmackDown Tag Team Champions coming together to form one singular, unified set of Tag Team Champions. This was the show to do it. And they did the match, non-title. They did the match on a random Raw because they were worried. I think that might have been the night Monday Night Football came back. So they blew it off and they beat the SmackDown Tag Team Champions. Unbelievable. Well, I'll say this, though. The next chance, because I'm still harping on this, the next chance they have is Survivor Series. Survivor Series is typically Raw versus SmackDown. So Survivor Series would make sense as well. Have a showdown between whoever the tag team champions are at the time. Winner take all. One set of floating champions, just like the women's tag team belts. That's the way that I would do it. See, Frost, if I repeat things over, my hope is that someone will be listening. It will permeate their brain, and perhaps it will stick. I know it's a futile effort on my part, but I'm going to keep saying it. I am going to keep saying it. Marco with the $20. Thank you for getting me through the workday. Show will suck. Just going to listen for the Wrestle Rumble giveaway. He just wants those belts, man. He wants those 8 NXT championship belts. That's what he wants. Citizen Strife First-time donator, listener for 5 years. Thank you for making my Sunday work shifts way easier to get through. Well, I'm glad that you can join. Abinav, your thoughts on Jay White winning the G1 Climax? Not a fan. If it goes down that way, he would not be my pick. And Nayef, always good to hear from Nayef with the $10 Super Chat drop. Wolfman wants to know if Bruce is watching. I think Bruce is probably spread a little thin right now. I don't think Bruce is watching this right now. Perhaps he'll watch on the download, though. Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley defends the United States Championship against Apollo Crews. This Sunday, we get WWE's version of what I call Apollo 13. Y'all remember Apollo 13? Everybody who knows their history, right? Or even if you're a movie buff, the movie version, right? You've all heard of Apollo 13. I call this Apollo 13. This is the 13th straight match that Apollo Crews has had on TV involving a member of the Hurt Business. 13 straight matches with the Hurt Business. And we talk about the Street Profits and Garza and Andrade. And you wonder why these shows have this feeling of sameness to them. Well, here's another perfectly good reason why. Apollo had his run. I didn't even think he would have a run. He had his run as the United States champion. Then he got sick, most likely. That's why he disappeared from TV. He came back. But he had a nice little run for himself as the United States champion. But the whole move to make, though, clearly was going to be getting him to a match with Bobby Lashley and dropping the belt to Lashley. Lashley had already challenged Drew McIntyre for the WWE title, and he failed. But they still wanted people to believe that this is the almighty Lashley, Lashley the Destroyer. They formed this Hurt Business group, which has turned into probably the best thing on Monday Night Raw. You can't keep beating Bobby Lashley. So, at Payback, he won the championship. You're not going to take the championship off Bobby Lashley, not even a month later, and put it right back on Apollo Crews. Not going to happen. Crews is not winning anything here. Got Lashley to retain. They need to separate Apollo Crews from the Hurt Business effective this Monday. I mean, this got to be a hard stop to this. How many fucking matches could you see with Apollo Crews and the Hurt Business? Are they going for some kind of record? Apollo 13 needs to be the end of it. Ricochet, you know, with Ricochet, his partner just turned on him, and they already had a match with him and Cedric Alexander on TV. If Ricochet were to continue feuding for a little while longer with them, I get that. That kind of makes sense. But Apollo Crews, it's just been done to death. They've got to move on from this. They need other people to work with. We've got Bayley defending her SmackDown Women's Championship against Nikki Cross. So they did the injury angle, as you are all, I'm sure, well aware. A few weeks ago on SmackDown, they did the injury angle with Sasha Banks and Bayley, the golden role models. They officially went Splitsville. Bayley turned on her best friend. The whole brutal attack, the brutal assault, right, by Bayley with the chair and everything. It's a major angle. And my hope was that they would keep Sasha Banks out for a while and really milk her return. If they could, you know, find a way to get her to the Royal Rumble and let her win the Rumble and go to Mania, that would have been perfect. You could have just killed the next few months with some new challengers. But they couldn't help themselves. So we've already had Sasha Banks back on TV. And when she was in that studio last week and Bayley attacked her again, yeah, they said that she was shaken up. There was no injury. There was no further injury. She was just shaken up. So Sasha Banks is fine. Sasha Banks is no longer hurt. Sasha Banks is fine. And I think that there's a very good chance that could very well play into this match here. You know, and remember what Sasha Banks said in that promo on SmackDown last week. Yeah, her goal is to take away, her vow, her promise was to take away the one thing that means the most to Bayley, and that is the SmackDown Women's Championship. Now, I interpreted that as, you know, it would be her taking the title from her. But I suppose that she could have meant that she would cost her the championship. Not necessarily that Sasha herself would be the one to take the title from her. And even if that's what she said, it's very possible that what they're actually getting at here is that Sasha Banks is going to cost Bayley the championship. and it could happen as soon as this Sunday. Now, I don't like that idea. Bayley's been the champion now for well over 300 days. She's going to be over a year SmackDown Women's Champion. You've gotten this far. When CM Punk went to 434 with that WWE title, now they didn't go to Mania because they had the rematch with Rock and Cena already planned, but when he lost the championship, it was in a big match situation. He dropped it to The Rock at the Royal Rumble. The Rock beat CM Punk to end his 434-day reign as champion. When you have a championship run for that long, I understand this is not the WWE title, but still, it's the SmackDown Women's title. It can't, in my opinion, just end on some kind of random match. I mean, you've got these two people feuding. It's this personal feud. If Sasha's goal is to take the championship from her, it should be her. It should be Sasha Banks. It should not be Nikki Cross. It should not be Alexa Bliss or Naomi or Carmella or anybody else. This story is meant to culminate in a championship win for Sasha Banks. I'm torn on my prediction here. I'm torn on my prediction because, you know, they're clearly going to do the match at Hell in a Cell with Sasha and Bayley. I mean, it seems obvious to me at this point, whether it's in the cell or not, at that pay-per-view, they're going to do the match there. I mean, the ADD here is just off the page. So I can't see them waiting much longer to do this match. They can't help themselves. I think Sasha Banks could very well cost Bayley the championship here. Could very well happen. Now, her opponent, Nikki Cross. Nikki Cross had, what was it? Was it two or three? I think it was three. Straight championship opportunities against Bayley this summer. And she came up on the losing end of every single one of them. Losing end in that, I'm not talking DQs or anything. She could not win the championship from Bayley. She couldn't buy herself a championship win. We've already seen this match before, multiple times. Now they're running it back again. And, you know, again, it's bizarre to me that they would give Nikki Cross another shot and just beat her like they did this summer. It seems to me that this perhaps is setting up for a title change, because why would you put Nikki Cross? I mean, what a loser Nikki Cross is going to come across as if she loses to Bayley again. It's just very bizarre to me that this is the match they decided to give us unless they had a title change planned. So, I think that coupled with Sasha lurking in the shadows, that's why I'm conflicted about the finish here. I really don't want them to change that title, though. Then you have Alexa Bliss. You know, you got Alexa Bliss on TV every week, and she's lapsing in and out of these trances of hers. She's under the spell of the Fiend. You know, a match between her and Nikki seems inevitable at this point, but doesn't have to be for a title. Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross can have a match. They can feud. Doesn't have to be for a championship. Doesn't need a title at all. Meanwhile, the whole story with Bayley and Sasha is entirely centered around championships and the SmackDown Women's Championship that Bayley will do anything to hold on to. So, to me, that's the one that really needs the championship as part of the story. I'm going to say Bayley retains. I'm going to go with Bayley to retain. Bayley keeps her belt, but they clearly are not going to wait much longer to do that match with her and Sasha. That much is very apparent. EJ joined us last night. What's going on, EJ? Do you think this is a good analogy? Retribution represents everything wrong about the Nexus, while the Shield represented everything right. I mean, the only, I guess, comparison there would be you're dealing with people from the developmental system. So, I mean, I guess I could see that analogy. I don't really see too many similarities between them, other than just, in some cases, horrible booking. The Nexus didn't start out horribly. The Nexus started out with a bang. I remember that was 10 years ago, if you can believe it. And I still remember everybody that night when Raw went off the air making the NWO comparisons. Oh man, this is the best angle like this since the NWO invaded in 1996. This is going to be like a new age version of the NWO. And boy, do those people look like a bunch of fucking idiots now, huh? Boy, do they look stupid. Well, when you make an analogy like that, you're going to look stupid anyway. Mr. Pro Wrestling with the $15. Maybe it's just me, but I feel like the 24/7 skit killed Akira Tozawa by being eaten alive. So, okay, so you think that Akira Tozawa in storyline is dead and he was devoured by the shark. Well, I'm going to say no on that. I think you're wrong. But I wish the shark ate every single one of them. That's what I wish. I would have booked the shark to go over. Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax defend their women's tag team titles against the Riot Squad. Liv Morgan and Ruby Riot. Nia Jax has put Lana through the announce table now 2 weeks in a row on TV. I just wanted to point that out. The reason I point that out is, by the way, take that Miro. Boy, we sure showed him. Let's put his wife through the table 2 weeks in a row because he said a bunch of things about us that are absolutely true. But when Nia Jax put her through the table on Monday, Liv Morgan and Ruby Riot, they were at ringside doing commentary for Shayna and Nia's match. And they were so scared of Nia that they backed away. They practically ran away from Nia Jax. The imposing Nia Jax scared them off. And off went the challengers. Baszler and Jax, they just won the belts just a few weeks ago. They just won the belts not even a month ago. I think they have more time to go before they drop them and things fall out again between the two of them. And they may well end up dropping them to the Riot Squad. This may not be the first, this may be the first, but not the last match we see between these two teams. I just don't think it's going to happen on Sunday. So I have Baszler and Jax to retain. Then we come to the match I'm most looking forward to on this show. Jeff Hardy defending the Intercontinental Championship against the so-called Intercontinental Champion Sami Zayn and the former Intercontinental Champion AJ Styles. In a triple threat ladder match. It's exactly what I pitched a few weeks ago. Sammy walking around with the fake belt. Put both belts hanging from the ceiling. WrestleMania 10 style. The winner. Winner take all. Winner pulls down both belts. They have not said if Sammy's belt will be suspended above the ring. I assume it won't. It will not be. It should be. But I don't know if it'll actually be hanging up there as well or not. Sami Zayn had about a month or so as the Intercontinental Champion, I think, in March, right? Leading into WrestleMania. Beat Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. He had about a month as the champion before he took his title and went home. And since he's been back, I have been entertained by his antics. I have been entertained by Sami Zayn. I think there's still plenty of gas left in a Sami Zayn reign or run as the IC champion. AJ Styles, he doesn't need the belt back just yet. Jeff Hardy, he doesn't need it at all. Jeff Hardy does not need the title at all. In fact, I see Jeff as being a potential challenger they could groom for Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship. Now, there is the one little issue. People aren't talking about it. People may have forgotten about it. But Jeff Hardy is due back in court later this month. Actually, it might be this week or next week. Might be next week. Right around this time, Jeff Hardy's court date because of COVID got pushed back. It might be pushed back again due to COVID. I don't know what's going on with the court system there. But the point is, Jeff Hardy still has to answer for the charges that have been pending against him all year from his last arrest, which was almost a year ago. It was October of last year. They might be a little skittish about doing anything big like that with Jeff until that case gets resolved. All the more reason, frankly, why I think Jeff is going to drop the belt here in this match. But you know, the bigger thing is I think you could be grooming him as a big babyface challenger for Roman Reigns. And by the way, that's a match that would be fresh. I can't ever remember seeing a Roman Reigns-Jeff Hardy match. That's a totally fresh match that I don't believe we've ever seen before. Sammy's been talking a lot of smack lately about being the real Intercontinental Champion. I think he ekes out a win here. I think he does. I'm going to predict a Sami Zayn victory. I think Sami ends up getting the belt right back. He's got more left in this run, I think, before you really take the title off of him. He's a heel that... See, Sami's interesting, because Sami was like the best babyface in the company when he was in NXT. NXT Sami Zayn, which feels like a lifetime ago. I mean, we're going back probably 4 or 5 years now, was just the quintessential babyface that everybody loved. And then he came to the main roster, and he was a babyface at first, but then he became a heel. And there were a lot of people, myself included, who weren't sure that was the right move to make. Sammy ended up being, I think, a great heel. He's very easy to hate, but he could also be very easy to like. He's kind of that rare breed. He can be a great babyface, but he can also be a great heel. I still think there's juice left in this heel run for Sami Zayn. That's right, Sandman in the chat. He says, Sami Zayn, the true champion. That's right. In the biggest match of his life is the other match I'm looking forward to. Jey Uso marches to his demise. Oh, yes, he does. Anybody who feels differently really has not been paying attention. Jey Uso marches to his demise against his cousin, his Us. Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship. Roman did a Facebook Live Q&A. Since I know some of you anyway are not following Roman Reigns every move on Facebook, I shall fill you in here on the news. We have news here to report. He did a Facebook Q&A, did Roman Reigns. He noted that he will no longer be wearing the tactical vest that he has been wearing really his entire career on the main roster. He looked very different in FCW when he was down in developmental. He was not wearing the tactical gear. It was a Shield thing when the Shield debuted on the main roster. He's been wearing that since day one in 2012 when the Shield debuted. And according to him in this Facebook chat, it is no more. He says he's going to just stick to wearing the black pants. He's going to wrestle with his shirt off. So there's going to be a bit of a different look for Roman Reigns. It sounds like starting on Sunday. He also confirmed that he will be debuting new entrance music very soon. Not on Sunday, but he's going to be debuting entrance music soon. I'll tell you what, after listening to Keith Lee's new theme song, he might want to rethink that. They'll send him to the ring with some kind of fucking nursery rhyme or nursery tune or something. Yeah, if I'm Roman Reigns, I'm having second thoughts about this whole new theme situation. But he will not be debuting it on Sunday. He said, down the line, when more drastic things happen and the story unfolds. Long overdue is what I say. Roman Reigns is long overdue for a makeover, and this is the right time to do it. You know, the guy just went heel. He's got this whole new attitude about him. This is the time. New gear, new music, new attitude. It all fits together. Let's talk a little bit about Jey Uso. Jey Uso being in a championship main event on a pay-per-view is something that absolutely nobody would have predicted even a few months ago. There's a lot of things that have happened that I think pre-pandemic a lot of us would never have predicted. I would have never predicted I'd be watching WWE television with people transposed on a fucking virtual wall, but here we are. I never thought WrestleMania would take place in an empty warehouse, but here we are. Whole new world we live in now. And it's a world where Jey Uso is challenging for the Universal Championship. He got that win in the Fatal 4-Way a few weeks ago. He pinned Matt Riddle and earned the right to challenge for the title. It was all set up. It was all engineered by Roman and Paul Heyman. They set things up perfectly for Jey to get the shot. They wanted him to get this title match. And Jey Uso has been too naive to understand what's going on here. We, as the viewer, can see exactly where this is going. Poor Jey Uso, he's clouded by family and friendship, my Us, you know, we've known each other since we were kids, dog. Come on, man. Like, this is Jey Uso talking on TV like he and Roman Reigns are thick as thieves, they're best friends. This fucking guy has no idea what's coming. He has no idea what's coming down the pipe. You hate to see it. Roman Reigns needs to kill this man. That's what Roman Reigns needs to do. And if you saw the change in his demeanor at the end of SmackDown last week, the end of that tag team match on SmackDown last week, when Roman was all smiles, right? And he's hugging Jey Uso, they're embracing, and Jey goes off. And they had the camera on Roman. And Roman had this big smile on his face. And it very slowly turned into just the biggest scowl that you've ever seen. This angry, just absolutely pissed off look on his face. Like, I'm going to destroy this guy. I thought that was great. I thought that told the whole story right there. In one look, in one facial expression, in one moment at the very end of that show, it just told the whole story about what's going to go down here. He's going to murder this man. And Roman Reigns is my pick. He's going to retain the championship. But what this does, the reason I like this, first of all, it is somebody new in the main event. It is very predictable. Jey Uso is not going to win, but it is somebody different. There is the family connection. They are telling a story here. And on top of that, we're getting heel Roman Reigns, which so many people have been waiting for years. Just like John Cena, I want John Cena to go heel. Well, we never got John Cena turning heel, but we have Roman Reigns now as a heel. And the one thing that sucks about it is that it came, the Roman Reigns heel turn that people have been clamoring for so many years, we finally got it, and there's no live crowds. I mean, imagine Hulk Hogan turning on WCW and joining the NWO in an empty building in 1996. Do you think that moment would be remembered as fondly or would have had the kind of impact that it had without the fans being there and the fans throwing trash into the ring? So that part of it sucks, you know, in terms of the timing of it. But if you wanted to solidify this guy's heel turn, what is one of the things that you would do? Well, one of the things that I would do is I would put him in there with a family member that he has been, you know, allied with now for a number of years. And I would have him murder the man. I would have him just lay the most vicious beat down upon him to really make it very clear which side of the aisle this guy is on. You know, Roman talks about holding off on new music until something drastic happens. There's some kind of big drastic shift in the story. Well, I don't know if it's going to be this or not, but we clearly have not seen the sinister side yet. If there's any doubt left about whether or not this is a heel turn, there are some people who have written into me thinking, oh, he's not really a heel. It's like the Young Bucks on Dynamite. They're acting heelish. They have an attitude. But in the end, they're not going to be heels. And you're right about that. The Young Bucks are not going heel. Roman Reigns is a heel. I think they've made that very clear. And this is how you solidify that heel turn and make it very clear that this guy's a fucking heel. But I think you want to make it a little competitive. I'm not saying that just because he's going to murder him doesn't mean that this is going to be a squash. I would not make this a squash. I would make it a little competitive. I would have maybe a near fall in there where for a moment people actually maybe possibly believe he could pull it off. And that's when Roman panics and that's when Roman just beats the fuck out of this guy. So that's kind of how I see this going down. Now, the question isn't so much is Jey Uso going to win? He's not. The question is, what's next for Roman? Because you're not doing this match again. And you're not going to see Jimmy Uso. There's no Jimmy Uso. Jimmy Uso, he tore his ACL. He just talked recently. He's looking at January as a potential return date. So there will be no twin magic at Clash of Champions on Sunday. We're not going to go from Jey Uso this month to Jimmy Uso getting a shot at Hell in a Cell. That's not how this is going to work. But what's next for Roman? Who do you put him in the ring with next? You know, you got Hell in a Cell coming up. I'm more interested in thinking about his next challenger. Does The Fiend get his rematch? Do you give The Fiend a rematch with Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship, this time one-on-one, no Braun Strowman involved? I think they need to keep The Fiend as far away from Roman as possible. I think The Fiend needs to take a fucking restraining order out to make sure that Roman Reigns is kept far, far away from him at all times, because that is not going to end well, as it didn't at Payback. That is not going to end well for Bray Wyatt. Eventually, they will probably do that match, but I don't believe it should be The Fiend who's next. Look, you know, we already had one disaster at Hell in a Cell a year ago with The Fiend in there with a former member of The Shield. Okay, we don't need another one. We don't need a repeat of that. So I look at the SmackDown roster and I look at some of the baby faces. I look at somebody like Big E. You know, Big E, who has now just finally started to get a push into singles role. Long overdue. I like what they're doing so far with Big E. Big E has his own issue with Sheamus at the moment. There's unfinished business with him and Sheamus. I think it's premature. I could see Big E challenging Roman Reigns for the championship at some point, but you got to build him up a little bit more. It's too early. It's just too early for that. So then I look at somebody like Matt Riddle. Now, Matt Riddle, contrary to what some people might believe a few weeks ago when he got pinned in the Fatal 4-Way, was not buried. He was not buried because he got caught by surprise by Jey Uso after he had just laid out two other guys himself. He had just laid out King Corbin. He had just laid out Sheamus. He got caught. That's not a burial. You know what a burial is? A burial is whatever the fuck that was on SmackDown last week. When they have a guy in Matt Riddle who they could be building as a contender for your top title. And they do this vignette with him talking about, boy, your bro, I say the word bro a lot, bro. And, you know, I could use bro in any situation, man, dude. Yeah, man. You could say bro when you're happy, man. You could say bro when you're sad. You could say bro when you're mad, bro. Who the fuck comes up with this shit? Now I'm supposed to take this guy seriously as a challenger to Roman Reigns? It comes off like a fucking joke. Some people already thought he came off like a joke. Because that is the way he talks. But I watched that and I said, okay, well, hey, if that's how they see him, then this is not a guy that they see challenging Roman Reigns anytime soon for the Universal title. So, yeah, I don't see Matt Riddle getting the spot. We come to Jeff Hardy, and I mentioned him a few minutes ago. I don't know what his court situation is going to be, but Jeff Hardy would be a great babyface. A likable babyface that people love to put him in there with Roman Reigns. Could be another guy for Roman to kill. I think Jeff Hardy absolutely could be an option. And then there's one other option, and I don't know. I don't know if it's an option. Because I don't know what his status is. I don't know when he's coming back. I guess he's on paternity leave. But we got Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan has not been seen since WrestleMania. Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella had a kid about a month ago. Actually, it's probably closer to 2 months now. But I don't know when he's planning on coming back. If Daniel Bryan is ready to come back, you can begin setting up for a Daniel Bryan-Roman Reigns showdown. But to me, you need time to build that out. You don't want to just bring back Daniel Bryan and do it at a B pay-per-view like Hell in a Cell. Inside Hell in a Cell, don't get me started on that. The whole using the cell when it doesn't need to be used. Daniel Bryan, absolutely, absolutely going to be a contender for that championship. Not going to be next month. Jeff Hardy may be the best option unless they just want to feed Matt Riddle. Those really strike me as being the only options, though. You like the Riddle? It's the first time I ever did Matt Riddle. The impression. That's what he sounds like in that video. Go back and watch that vignette. Dude, all these emotions, dude, bro. Bro, I like using that word, bro. Like he's a joke. Like he's a joke. Natural Born Thriller. Hey, Solomon, sir. Hope everything is all well and safe. All is good. All is good on the home front. EJ says, yes, what I meant was the Nexus were a cool developmental group that became uncool while Retribution... Retribution has never been cool. And he says the Shield stayed cool. Flamethrower Fluff Salisbury. Or FFS, for fuck's sake, would be his acronym. Do you think that the new music will have a more tribal feel to it? Oh, it's possible. Paul Heyman's going around calling him the tribal chief. It could very well have some kind of Samoan tribal vibe to it. Jacob Donnelly with the $10. I have a slight feeling that Nikki Cross will win the title from Bayley because WWE might think that Sasha against Bayley does not need the championship. Well, then they would be fucking wrong. Not that they can't go out there and have a great match without a championship on the line. To me, the story has to have the title involved. You have built it up for so long. The champion, everything revolved around the championship, the betrayal, Bayley doing whatever it takes to hold on to that title, Sasha admitting, look, that's the one thing that means more to you than life itself. I'm going to be the one. I'm going to be the one that takes it away from you. I'm going to be the one that costs you everything because you cost me. I used to be two belts Banks, and now I'm no belts Banks. Everything that we saw with these two all summer revolved around the Raw women's title, the SmackDown women's title, the women's tag team titles. How could it not be for the championship? Troy Turner, afternoon, Solomonster. Thank you in advance for watching this so I don't have to, and I look forward to your review of this flaming dumpster fire. Well, we're not done yet because we have Drew McIntyre. We have Drew McIntyre defending the WWE Championship in an ambulance match. I love that accent. I wish I could perfect that accent. I know some people don't like it, but I like that accent. He defends the championship in an ambulance match against Randy Orton. The ambulance match stipulation gives this company an out. It gives Bruce and Vince and all of them, it gives them an out. It gives them an out to, first of all, not have a clean finish and then build to a blow-off at Hell in a Cell. If that's the case, though, if I'm right, that just screams Randy Orton win. That's what it screams to me. It screams Randy Orton victory at Clash of Champions. 14 world titles for Randy Orton is what I hear in my head when I think of doing another match between these two. Because how many times can somebody lose in a row before you just stop doing matches between them, right? If for no other reason, just to keep things interesting, you almost have to change the championship. Because think about it. He lost to Drew McIntyre at SummerSlam on a backslide. He lost to Drew McIntyre. A week later, he lost to Keith Lee. You're going to beat Randy Orton again and then come back with another Randy Orton-Drew McIntyre match? I don't think so. I don't believe so. If they want to pay this thing off at Hell in a Cell, then Randy Orton should win here. Plain and simple. And this way, Drew doesn't have to get pinned. And I could see that in their mind. Oh, we don't have to pin him. He could lose, but not really lose. But there's someone else who should be part of this, given his involvement with both of these guys over the past month, and that's Keith Lee. Keith Lee right now has no match on this show. And the majority of his matches so far have ended in screwjob DQs. You know, he's had his issues with Randy Orton, but also Drew McIntyre has cost him a couple of wins by interfering in his matches. So friendly though they may be, Keith Lee is a man who has issues and has beef with both these guys. And yet he's not part of this match. I think we see Keith Lee on Sunday. I think he might even pop out of the back of the ambulance when they open the doors. Or maybe he'll be the driver. But I think we see Keith Lee on Sunday. And not necessarily just to attack one guy over the other. Like I said, he has issues with both guys. So he can get involved and go after both of them. Because you know what? He's fed up. He's sick and tired. Every fucking match this guy has, except for the payback match where he actually got a win, has ended in DQ. Or he gets laid out with an RKO. He rolls out of the ring. We never see him again. It's like he vanishes. Poof. Keith Lee's a big guy. It's hard for a big guy like that to just vanish into thin air. But we've seen it now multiple times on TV. So if anybody has a reason to get involved here and go after both these guys, it's Keith Lee. But I think his interference will end up costing Drew McIntyre the championship. And he'll inadvertently give Randy Orton the win. That allows them then to run the match back one more time at Hell in a Cell. But the wrinkle this time is that it's not one-on-one. It is a triple threat Hell in a Cell match next month involving Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton, and Keith Lee for the WWE title. That's where I see this going. And that makes things a little more interesting next month. You know, does Orton retain? Are the rumors true? Are they going to build up Randy Orton to hold on and defend that title against Edge at WrestleMania next year when Edge comes back? Is Drew McIntyre just going to win the belt back? Could happen. Or would they put the championship on Keith Lee? Keith Lee is brand new to the main roster. They did take away both of his belts before he left NXT. He literally gave up the North American title. And then he had the NXT championship for all of a month and a half. And then they beat him for it. All to bring him to the main roster, to change his attire, to change his music. Maybe this will be their make good. You know, we're gonna put the big title on you. I think it's too early for that, but maybe they will. But you see, it's at least a little more intriguing than just doing another Drew McIntyre-Randy Orton match. You introduce Keith Lee into the equation, all of a sudden, you're not so sure what the outcome is going to be. I think that's where this is leading. Now, the other question, I guess, as far as Sunday goes, does Retribution get involved? Yeah, are we going to see a Retribution appearance on this show? Do we see Teabag and Slapdick on this show? I don't think we do. I don't think we saw Retribution at SummerSlam or Payback. Right? Back-to-back pay-per-views. I don't recall there being an appearance by Retribution on either of those shows. I don't think we're going to see them on Sunday either. So it's possible that they just hold them off until Monday night. And that's the card as it stands right now. That is your Clash of Champions card for this Sunday. We'll see if they add any new matches tomorrow night. If they do, or if I have any changes to any of these predictions, like I said, on the podcast, when it drops on Sunday, early afternoon probably is when it'll drop on Sunday, episode 671. We'll go through whatever changes we need to go through. And then I'm going to be back with you live on YouTube right here again on Sunday night, as soon as the pay-per-view goes off the air. Troy Turner says, I cannot take Retribution seriously, either not when they look like the effing Lollipop Kids went on a rampage. Well, I made the comment on Twitter. I said they look like a group of guys that the Shredder would yell at when they let those damn turtles get away. That's what those looks and those names reminded me of, watching them on Monday night. I felt like I was transported back to 1989, watching the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoons on Saturday morning with James Avery, Uncle Phil, voicing the Shredder on the cartoon. Davey Boy 11 with the $2. Did you ever visit WWF New York? I did. I did visit WWF New York. And in fact, I have something I'll show you here in a second. I will show you something. But WWF New York, I gotta say, it was a lot of fun. As a wrestling fan, wrestling was hot back then. We're talking 19... Was it 99? Might have been 2000. Probably 2000, 2001. Wrestling was still hot. WWF was still hot. You walked in, and when you walked in on the main level, so it's in Times Square, right? There's all these things going on. And you walk in, and the first thing you hear is theme music. So they're playing a rotation of WWF theme music on the loudspeaker, and you're in the merchandise shop, which is smart. So to get to the restaurant, you got to walk through the merch shop. So, and they had all kinds of stuff. All the merch you could think of, they had in this store. You go downstairs, and that's where the bar and the restaurant and the stage for artists who would come and perform, all of that was down on the lower level. And I remember thinking, I remember getting a burger, and I actually thought the burger was friggin' great. I thought they had a very good burger. The food there was actually very good. And then I went there once they did a live Sunday Night Heat taping. This was back when they brought these two goofballs in from some soap opera. They were like the hosts. They were hosting Sunday Night Heat for a while. And I was there for that as well. In fact, they interviewed me on the street. We were waiting in line to get in, and they were going to some fans and interviewing them, and they interviewed me. I wish I remember what episode that was. So WWF New York was a lot of fun. I was sorry to see it go. But, you know, look, it's Times Square. I mean, it's expensive. Real estate in Times Square, you don't need to be a genius to know that it was very, very expensive. Yeah, the WCW Nitro Grill in Vegas, I was never there. Caleb Willis with the $5. Has there ever been a good ambulance match? I enjoyed Shane McMahon against Kane from Survivor Series 2003, but that's about it. I can't remember there being a really good ambulance match that stuck with me. I remember there being a stretcher match that was very good with Brock Lesnar and the Big Show from Judgment Day in 2003. And the rules of the stretcher match were just friggin' dumb. I mean, They had a line on the ground. You had to like push the gurney over the line like a friggin' race. The rules were really dumb, but I remember that being a pretty good match. I think Brock drove like a forklift in and jumped off the forklift onto the Big Show. I remember that being very good. Ambulance matches, Kane and Shane, yeah, it was all right, but doesn't really stand out to me. Spade Racing, how come he don't want me, Shredder? Oh, man, come on. Do you know that every time I bring that Fresh Prince clip up on YouTube, I can't watch that clip without getting emotional? That might be the most emotional like TV show or sitcom TV moment. When Will realizes that his father doesn't want him and he leaves him again. What a fucking great scene that is. Troy Turner. Retribution sure does look like Shredder's minions, but they look like the Cabbage Patch Kids going over to the dark side. Yeah, well, you know what? My only hope is that there's some talented people in that group who I think they're talented enough where they should be okay, but really, when you're saddled with a gimmick like that, I don't care how featured prominently you are on the TV show. I mean, this could be death for your, this could be instant death for your career. And I just hope that they can get through this and they're not branded forever as these goofballs who showed up with these dumb names and these stupid masks. I mean, they look like they're going trick-or-treating for Halloween. It's ridiculous. So for their sake, I hope that they can get through this horrible, just ridiculous angle. And hopefully they'll come out on the other end okay. And Ali Nadim, do you think Jeff Hardy's spot in the Intercontinental storyline was originally meant for Daniel Bryan? Impossible to know. I would think that by now Daniel Bryan would have been probably back in the main event mix. It's impossible to know. I mean, you're talking from WrestleMania to now. It's like a lifetime in WWE. So what their plans would have been for him, I don't even know that they had plans for him. I think they just go month to month at this point. Just hoping to get to the next pay-per-view. That's kind of what it feels like to me. The lines are open. Again, if you want to call in, talk a little bit about Clash of Champions. Let me just very quickly grab something here. My WWF New York item. Show you guys here. Since somebody was curious if I was at WWF New York. Got the mug right there. You can't find these things. This is a very rare item right here. My WWF New York mug. Right now it's got pennies and dimes and nickels and change in here. But yes, this is one of the... one of the items I have left from my trips to WWF New York. So I could at least prove to people that place did exist. It's not just a figment of my imagination. It did actually, believe it or not, it did exist at one time. I do miss it. It was a lot of fun. All right, let's take some calls here, shall we? Let's take some calls on a Thursday afternoon. Get those super chats in before we end here in a little bit, and I will read them. Let's go to 504. What is your question?
What is up, Solid Monsters? Josh from New Orleans. I'm calling on my birthday, and I got one question, and it involves Clash of. It involves the filler pay per view. Do you think WWE should do away with filler pay-per-views and focus like on the big five and save those filler shows for Raw and SmackDown as a special attraction?
I wish they would. I mean, I just think those days are over. You know, they still make money off the pay-per-views. They're all about producing content. They're going to want to produce more, not less. So I would love to go back to the days of the Rumble, WrestleMania, bring back King of the Ring, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, Money in the Bank. You could always either put that back on the WrestleMania card, or Money in the Bank could be like a standalone network special. Something like Clash of Champions could be a network special like it used to be on TBS, you know, when it was still being held by WCW. But those days are over. I don't see them going back to that.
Yeah, I wish they would, man. But overall about Clash of Champions, I'm kind of not excited about it besides the Intercontinental title match and Roman Reigns. But I don't know. Something about it just doesn't click with me. I don't know why. Maybe it's just they don't have enough talent to build towards. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. And we don't know who's missing because of other circumstances. There's been a lot of stories about AEW and NXT and WWE and COVID and people missing. So yeah, that could also wreak havoc on the roster sometimes. But I at least, you know, appreciate the fact that we're getting a new face in the main event. He's going to get squashed, pretty much squashed. But, you know, it's something different. It's something different. So, yeah, I'm cool with it. I'm okay with it. Anything else?
Yeah. Nothing else, really. I just wanted to call since it was my birthday. I wanted to call in on your show because, you know, I got to support
this Solid Monster. You said today your birthday?
Yes, today is my birthday.
Oh, okay. Happy birthday. I couldn't hear you there the first time. Happy birthday.
Yeah. Just turned 27, and I'm loving my day already.
Ah, 27. That was... I remember that birthday. That was a good birthday for me too, way back in the olden days.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I'm gonna let you go, but I gotta say, dude, the best thing in my life just came today. I got a cameo from Thunder Rosa.
Oh wow, very cool. That's very nice. Was she wearing the face paint?
Yes, she was. I actually have it up on Twitter.
Oh, very cool. You'll have to tag me and show me.
All right, because I also have one with Red Velvet and Leva Bates. They did it for me as well.
Very cool. For your birthday?
Yeah.
Awesome. That's very cool, man. Well, listen, that sounds like an awesome gift. I guess this stream is my gift to you. And I hope the rest of your birthday. I hope the rest of your birthday goes great.
I think it will, man. Thanks a lot.
All right, take care. I've heard from a lot of people who've been talking about their birthday being yesterday or this week. A lot of September babies. I always thought there were a lot of October babies. I'm an October baby. There was a lot of hanky panky going on. I guess in what was it? Maybe February. When was I conceived? I've got to think. I'm not great with math. I got to figure out when I was conceived. So I'm sure you're all so interested to know when the Sala Monster was born. Let's go to 815. What is your question?
Hey, Sala Monster, it's EJ. First, thanks for taking my super chat the last couple of days. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for sending them in.
Just chilling. Absolutely. Just chilling on my afternoon, taking a break from writing a paper, and I appreciate you distracting me from it. I was thinking about Roman Reigns. I have a feeling that this Sunday he's going to debut like a new killer monster gimmick. And I think he's going to kind of be like Brock in the sense where he's going to work with a lot of younger guys smaller guys and just demolish them. And I'm looking forward to it. But I'm wondering, can you see him holding the title all the way to WrestleMania? And if that's the gimmick where he's killing, where he becomes a killer, who would you rather see him eventually like be the one to conquer him? Would you rather see Daniel Bryan come back and have a good story with him? Or would you rather maybe do a Finn Balor story by then, and maybe do an NXT Universal Championship title for title match whenever that happens? I'm just a couple ideas. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't see that. The latter idea, I don't see that happening as far as the NXT Universal title thing. You know, Balor, I guess, is happy enough doing his thing right now. He also still wants to get that run in NXT UK. So I don't know when he's planning on asking back to the main roster. I guess it's up to Vince, really. If Vince wants him, he'll get him back. There is some, not too much history. I mean, Finn beat him, right? Very early when Finn first came to the main roster, he beat him on TV. I think I kind of like the idea of Daniel Bryan, honestly. I think Daniel Bryan is, if you're building up Roman as a heel, Daniel Bryan is like the consummate babyface and represents everything opposite of Roman Reigns. There's a huge story there that they could tell, right? With these two, imagine the video package going back years with the highlights of how we all got to this point. The story kind of tells itself.
And you can absolutely work the 2015 Royal Rumble when everyone wanted Daniel Bryan to win. And that was kind of the beginning of you know, everyone hating Roman. You can definitely work that in. And Roman can say that, you know, maybe Daniel Bryan's the reason why fans don't like him.
Yeah, I like the story there. So if it were me, yeah, I'd like the idea of going for Daniel Bryan. There's always the possibility they bring back Brock Lesnar. And maybe the dynamic is different this time in that it's Lesnar is like a babyface destroyer and Roman is the heel. And maybe Heyman, he's got to try to manage, I don't mean like literally manage, but try to manage both these guys because Brock's still his guy. Roman's his guy.
Right.
Maybe Heyman can factor in. Who's, you know, where does his loyalty lie? So you could do that too. But I also feel like, I don't know. I mean, Lesnar and Reigns, it's just been done to death. So Reigns and Bryan would probably be my choice.
Yeah, that's honestly my favorite thing going on in WWE right now. I'm excited for heel Roman. Everything else is kind of meh. But yeah, thanks for taking my call, and thanks for taking my super chats, and I will tune in Sunday to the post-show and maybe call in again. Thanks.
Awesome. Great. I'll talk to you then. So yeah, Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan, I think, is something that you gotta hold off on that. That's not something you blow off at Hell in a Cell. I don't think it's something you do at Survivor Series. I mean, that's a great match and a great story that's just there for the taking. And you want to just take your time, you know, take your time and build up something like that. You don't want to blow it all at the, you don't want to blow it all at the first chance. 520, what's your question?
Hey, what's up? How's your day going?
It's going good.
I was just wondering if there's any chance of Retribution invading Night of Champions.
Well, I mean, there's always, yeah, there's always the possibility of it. I said before, I don't think they will. They've kept them off the last two pay-per-views. So maybe they'll do the same thing this time where they just sort of let the matches, you know, take the time they need and save the Retribution stuff for Monday night. If Retribution gets involved, we've seen this end Raw the last few weeks where they come out, they interfere in the match. There's like a no decision. It's just some bullshit, you know, non-finish. Nobody wants to see that on pay-per-view. So either they have some big plans for this next chapter of Retribution and it's going to unfold on the pay-per-view or some kind of big reveal maybe at the end. If not, then keep them the hell off this show. You know, nobody, we don't need to see another run-in, 50 million fucking camera cuts. I don't need that. I want to be able to watch Night of Champions on Sunday without taking a Dramamine pill. Every time these guys come out, you notice something very interesting, by the way? We saw Retribution wrestling on Monday night, their very first match. These guys that have caused all this mass destruction, they gave contracts to these guys, and they had a main event match. And the main event match was shot like a normal match. We had the normal number of camera cuts, and it looked like every other main event. But then when the match broke down, all of a sudden the camera was all over the place. Well, the camera was perfectly fine for the match itself. But when I guess the bell rings and there's no official match taking place, all of a sudden the cameraman just loses his mind. And all of a sudden the camera's going up and down and left and right. It's bullshit. Whoever produces this show is a fucking idiot. Can barely even watch it. For that reason alone, I don't want to see Retribution on Sunday. I want to be able to watch this pay-per-view. I don't want to have to just listen to it and close my eyes. I want to be able to watch the show. Ridiculous. Whenever these guys are out there, the way they shoot these segments. 704, what's your question?
Hey, Solo Monster. So, I was wondering, I know earlier on in the stream, you called Matt Riddle, you said the way Matt Riddle was portrayed, you know, he comes off as a joke. But I was wondering, do you think he could be built up in time for a potential WrestleMania match with him and Roman? Or is there just no coming back?
No, you could come back. I mean, it was one segment. It felt like it was the first of what is going to be a series of segments. We may get another one tomorrow night. Hey, look, most people can be rehabilitated. Even these Retribution dorks, I mean, we'll see where this goes. But I would like to think that in the end, with sensible booking and people who know what the hell they're doing, everybody is redeemable. Matt Riddle, I think, is still going to be a big player on the SmackDown roster, but it will take longer. It will take more time for him to get there, I think, and be taken seriously. If they're just going to embrace, I mean, it is the way he talks and all that, but if they're going to embrace it and go over the top with it and just make it into something that everybody can laugh at, then you know what? I don't want to see him wrestling Roman Reigns. So you're talking WrestleMania. Yeah, I think by WrestleMania, he could be in a better position. Could he be challenging for the championship? I don't know. But he's not buried. He's not, oh my God, stick a fork in him. He's done. I still think he'll be okay. But those types of segments don't do him any favors in terms of, I think, just trying to take him seriously. Could you imagine anybody else challenging for the world championship who would be doing segments like that on TV? Save that shit for the lower card guys. Matt Riddle can be an upper card guy. What are you doing? You know, Matt Riddle was getting over just fine in NXT. And he was, you know, they were playing up the laughs with him and Pete Dunne. Remember the Bruiser, the Broserweights? They were a tag team in NXT for a while, and they were entertaining to watch. But you're talking about him challenging Roman Reigns? That ain't the Matt Riddle that's going to be challenging Roman Reigns. So the longer they want to put stuff like that on TV, it's going to be a while, I think, before we really kind of see him ascend to that level. And he can be a player. He could be a big-time player on that show. They've got a few baby faces right now that they could really build up, whether it's him, Big E. I mean, they've got guys. It's all about how you use those guys, though. I don't want to see them squander, you know, what they have, the potential they have in some of these people. But the problem is I have no faith anymore. Whatever shred of faith, whatever slither of faith I may have still had, sliver, I should say, is gone. It's gone. Because the booking on TV has, it's been, I don't even know if atrocious is the right word for it. It's probably as bad as I've ever remember it being. And I've been watching this for 30, oh God, I don't even know, I'm dating myself now, but probably a good 33 years, maybe. It's never been as bad as it is now. Think of all the talent they have. How is that possible? How could it be the worst that it's ever been? Look at the talent they have on the roster. Look at all the talent they have under contract. That's talent. Being able to have the best talent roster probably ever assembled, maybe in the history of the business, maybe in the history of this company, and not know what to fucking do with it, that's talent. Unfortunately, it's the wrong kind of talent. 518, what's your question?
Hey, Solid Monster, this is Troy. I was giving you a couple of super chats a couple minutes ago. What's going on?
Hey, Troy, thank you. I appreciate all the support.
Yeah, I had to drag a retribution there for a couple minutes. I was listening in, and you said sensible booking. This is WWE, Solid Monster. There's no such thing.
No, I know. Oh, I know.
Ever.
I know.
I have no faith.
That's the optimist.
Idiot.
I don't consider myself... an overly optimist. I don't consider myself an optimist. I consider myself a realist. I consider myself, I'm very reality based. So I understand, believe me, I'm well aware that I am probably just talking to these four walls here, but I'm going to continue to shout into the void. I'm going to continue to shout into the void until somebody hears me. At least you guys hear me, right? So I know I'm not crazy. Are we in agreement right now that these people don't know what the fuck they're doing?
That's an understatement. I think the word you were looking for before is abysmal.
Abysmal.
That's what the booking is. Abysmal.
Yes. Chris in the chat.
You have all this talent.
Chris in the chat, I agree. Chris Maycock has a great name, by the way. Chris Maycock says abysmal in all capital letters, and that is the correct word for it.
You have all this talent, just like you have a stacked roster, and your booking is just crap. I mean, look at... The Retribution guys, I mean, I'm sorry. You look like Marco Stunt and Swoggle gathered up their homies and decided to destroy the PC. It's like, I can't take that seriously. Like, come on. You look like fucking Cabbage Patch Kids gone evil. Or Oompa Loompa's gone wild.
Yeah,
like, it's like, cut the crap.
Yeah,
it's horrible. It's horrible. And it made me stop watching. And it was a sound off you did a while back where you were talking about how people – say they're never, how WWE sucks, and you know they're never going to watch again, and you end up watching. I end up on the other on the flip side of that coin. I can tell you the actual match that made me just, let's say, fuck WWE, I'm done, I'm unsubbing from your stupid network, I'm over it. And it was the triple threat between Lesnar, Strowman, and Samoa Joe, and I forgot if that was a Mania or a SummerSlam. And you remember how they built up Strowman.
Well, it was a four-way.
And it's like, come on. It's ridiculous.
It was a four-way with Roman. And Roman took the pin, actually, in that match at SummerSlam. I remember that because the very next month, Braun Strowman, who had a lot of momentum at that time, got a one-on-one championship match. I think it was at No Mercy the following month with Brock Lesnar. And Brock Lesnar beat him as he beat Joe with one F5. It was one and done. And Strowman has not been the same since. He has not been the same since.
No, and you hurt the wrestler and you hurt the brand and their brand as a result with your stop, you dangle the freaking carrot and it's ridiculous. And that's what made me just say I'm done with WWE and I haven't watched since. You can't, like, come on. Like, I'm over it. Yeah, I'm over it. Like, the Retribution, it's a joke. Like I said, I'm glad you're watching it so I don't have to watch that flaming ass dumpster fire. I'm over it. I'm in the car with my friend. Like, he even agrees with me. Like, it's shitty.
Well, don't get so upset like, that you run off the road or anything. Yeah, don't get so upset
no,
that you're
not driving.
We're gonna have road rage. We're gonna have a road rage incident here live on the air. But
it's stupid. It's just like the Island of Stupid Ninjas. Like, right. Fuck out of here.
Well, look, is there any final thoughts as far as the pay per view goes before I let you go?
No, I just think it's gonna all be the same because their booking is so damn predictable.
All right. Well, you heard it here.
But I just wanted to give you a call.
You heard it here. Well, listen. Stay safe, and I appreciate.
If nothing changes.
Yeah. Well, I cut him off by accident, but either that or he crashed. I hope he didn't crash. He was. You see, this is what happens when you're on the road and you're driving. You get very upset. You get very animated, and then all of a sudden, boom! You know, some little old lady comes out of nowhere. So hopefully he's okay. But yeah, look, there's a lot of fans who are just like that, who are very exasperated by what they're seeing on TV. You look at the numbers every Monday night, they're, you know, down, they're down something like 26% from last year, 50-something percent from 2 years ago. This is what happens. All you got to do is give people a good television product that they think is fun, that they can enjoy watching, and they have failed. They have failed to do that, and it gets borne out in the numbers, which are getting kind of scary. They're very lucky they have this long-term TV deal. They weren't locked in for another 4 years. I think they'd be in some real trouble. Domination Warrior with the $5 a few minutes ago. Which would make an interesting match? Moolah against Yoshiko or Minoru Suzuki against New Jack? Minoru Suzuki against New Jack. That's a match I'd like to see. That is a match I would like to see. You can somehow find a way to book that match. Put that match on pay-per-view. However, I don't care how much it is. I would buy that match. I have more of an interest in seeing that match than I do any of the matches on Sunday. Now you got me excited for a Minoru Suzuki New Jack match. Maybe Joey Janela at one of his spring break shows can make it happen. 769, what's your question?
Hey, Solid Monster, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I wanted to ask you a question. Do you think it'll be better at this point if WWE just does crossover event with other companies, even though they hate doing that?
No. What? Why would they do that? What is in it for them?
Well, let's see. I'm trying to think unselfishly because I knew AEW and NWA, they did a crossover with Thunder Rosa, and that match was pretty good. And I
yeah,
was
but...
like...
Yeah, but listen, that's a very different situation. There's absolutely nothing to be gained. If you're WWE, I mean, they have been so, they're so in their own bubble that for them all of a sudden to go ahead and become friendly with other promotions that they can't really control, they don't have any sort of vested interest in, I don't see what's in it for them, honestly. I mean, as a fan, yeah, unselfishly as a fan, I used to dream as a younger wrestling fan all the time what it would be like if WWF and WCW worked together. We can get Austin and Goldberg, and we can get Sting and this guy, and all these dream matches. And as a fan, you think about that, but why would WWE do that? There's nothing, there's absolutely nothing in it for them. I don't know why they would even want to entertain the idea.
Well, let me ask you this. As a business, do you think wrestling does better business-wise when they cross over with other promotions?
I there's not enough of a sample size for me to know. I mean, some of the smaller promotions have done it, but WWE hasn't. WWE has not really done a true crossover probably since 1990. I mean, think about how long ago that is. And that was with a Japanese promotion that most people had probably never even heard of before. They just don't work well.
They crossed over with ECW, too.
Well, it was a little bit of a crossover. That was a little bit different because it wasn't like there was one big super card, right? Vince McMahon was giving Paul Heyman... He kind of put Paul Heyman on the payroll is what he did. And the agreement or the understanding, as we found out in later years, was... You know, we can send guys to you that we're not doing anything with or they're not getting over. Maybe you can help get them over. That's kind of what happened with Al Snow, right? WWF had him. He was Leaf Cassidy. He was Shinobi the Ninja. They didn't know what the fuck they were doing with this guy. And he went to ECW. And he just stumbled upon this whole head gimmick. And eventually he took that with him and came to WWE. So there was a relationship there. But Vince McMahon saw... a mutual benefit in it, and he ended up getting something out of it. But to actually work together with like an AEW or something and have inter-promotional matches, or I'm going to lend you this guy and you lend me this other person, there's no way. That's just, unfortunately, it's not the way the wrestling world works.
Okay, Solid Monster, thanks for taking my call.
You got it. Yeah, I used to dream about stuff like that. Man, when I was probably like in high school and stuff, we would all talk about that. What would happen if this guy wrestled this guy? Oh man, how much money they would make. And the sad part is WWE had the chance to do a card like that. When the invasion happened, they owned everything. It wasn't really a war anymore, but they could have put together a dream card and they fucked it all up. Don't even get me started on these. Talk about bad booking. Those of you who think bad booking is reserved only to the year 2020, you are sorely mistaken. It goes back a lot longer than that. That probably is the single most bungled storyline that I can't even imagine the millions of dollars that they cost themselves. It's just, it's mind-blowing. It really is. Now, I've always said, you know, I understand that some of the really big names were sitting at home, choosing to collect big paychecks. But just think about the money that WWE could have made. If they struck when the iron was hot with guys like Sting or Flair or Goldberg instead of waiting a couple of years to bring them in, whatever money they would have spent to buy those guys out of their contracts, they would have made that money back tenfold. Fivefold, tenfold. But they waited. He who hesitates. Remember that expression, he who hesitates. All right, we're going to take, let's see here. I know we're all jammed up. We'll take a couple more. And again, any final super chats, which I always appreciate, get them in now because I'll read them off before we end here in a few minutes. So we're going to get ready to wrap things up. But I want to go to a long-distance caller all the way from Saudi Arabia.
Hey, Salamonster.
How are you doing, my friend?
Good, thank you. I'm Fawaz from Jeddah. I called before, yeah.
I remember. I'm glad to get you back on.
Yeah, man. How are you doing? What's up?
Good.
So, what's the timing on your place? Because this is the first time I called and heard, like, it's coming to midnight in my place.
Well,
usually in the morning.
Yeah, well, right now it is 2:30 in the afternoon here in New York.
Oh, yeah. So, I just want to ask, how's the coronavirus in your town? The active causes and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, right now it's not as bad here as it was back in April. It's actually worse in a lot of other places.
Oh, yeah.
It's worse in a lot of other places, but it's definitely still there. I'm not going out much. I'm working from home, and I'm not traveling anywhere. So yeah. It's definitely still out there. So, but we're doing good here.
Oh, okay, try to stay safe, man.
Thank you. You too.
Okay, just want to. I'm not going to take a long time, but just want to give you an update and just a question.
Sure.
So you can consider me as the source for the Saudi show. So,
okay.
Yeah.
You're my inside source. I'm going to get all my reliable information from you.
Yeah, so the last time I called the active causes for coronavirus, so it was like, I think 40 active like causes, you know, in Saudi in general. So now it's like 13, I think. So it went down like a lot. So that's a good thing.
It sounds like a good thing. I mean, it's funny you bring that up, though, because I was reading something the other day, you know, about this relationship with WWE and Saudi Arabia, because they're due another show over in your country. But it doesn't sound like it's going to be happening. I can't imagine a situation where they actually fly back there anytime soon. So I'm very curious when.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm very curious when they're planning on. I would assume at some point next year, but I'm very curious on when they're planning on resuming trips overseas in general and how the wrestlers are going to feel about that when they do.
So from like after 2 weeks in Saudi, they will be doing like music shows for the first time after the Universe, yeah.
Oh, great. Yeah, I think that sounds to me like it might be almost like a test just to kind of see how things go before other events take place.
Yeah, exactly. And they here in my city, Jeddah, they open gym, but with they told us to be careful.
Yeah, same thing here.
We have restrictions.
Yeah, same thing here. Yeah.
So this is normal, but the shows will be in February, 2021. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So next year.
Yeah, well, that's
the same date as the show before. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I figured. We're probably looking at them maybe going back in February or March. So, but you know what? Things are changing so quickly every month, it feels like. Who knows? Right now, that might be the plan. And then if things get worse all of a sudden in 2 or 3 months, it could be pushed back again.
Yeah. You try to just keep safe, man. And I hope everything will be okay in your town.
Thank you. I believe me, I hope so too. So you'll have to call in again the next time. The next time I do one of these early streams on an afternoon, which I guess is at nighttime where you are, hopefully you'll call back in again.
Just a question. Is that okay? It's related to NXT.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
So I was so happy that they announced Wade Barrett is coming back as an announcer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do you see any potential of him coming to wrestle? How old is he? Is he really coming old or?
No, I mean, he's not going to wrestle again. He doesn't want to wrestle. He's made that clear. And I'm assuming it's an announcer contract and not a talent contract. But let me see how old he is. I'm curious because he's not a young guy. Wade Barrett, he's 40. Okay, he's 40 years old. So but regardless of that, it doesn't sound like he has any interest in wrestling for them. This is just strictly as an announcer.
Is it multiple shows or
he's back.
Will be
he's back. He's back full time. He's back full time as the weekly announcer on NXT.
Oh, I really hope that he comes back because they really messed up with him, you know?
Yeah. I've enjoyed his commentary, so I'm glad that he is officially back. He has signed the contract. He is back. Although I don't think he was on the show last night. I haven't watched NXT. If people are watching this right now, I have not yet watched NXT from last night. But from what I understand, I don't think he or Vic Joseph were doing commentary. I don't know what that means, because that's kind of strange. If he wasn't, it's kind of strange. But hopefully everything is okay with him.
Oh, yeah.
But listen, brother, I'm so glad you called in, and you'll have to call back again soon.
Yeah.
Thank you to everybody who has tuned in here on a Thursday afternoon for my Clash of Champions predictions. Again, I will be back with you again on Sunday for episode 671 of The Sound Off on all the usual platforms. You see him right there, in fact, on the bottom of your screen. Those are the platforms, and I will be live immediately after the pay-per-view on Sunday night, right back here for my Clash of Champions review. One last quick plug for the Wrestle Rumble Gold Rush. WrestleRumble.com, $1. You guys can win 8 belts. I'm going to pick the winner at random live on Sunday night, so I hope you will join me then. And that's it. That's all I got for you guys. Thank you for joining me on a Thursday afternoon. It's been fun. Yes, please, as Mr. E in the chat said, smash that like button. If you are here, smash that like button. It takes 2 seconds and doesn't cost you anything. It helps the video out when you do subscribe, and I will see you for more Sound Off this weekend. Until then, have a great rest of your day, and I'll see you soon. Take care, guys.